In the Maimar Hadorah, page 12, Rav Kook has now moved from what appeared to be at the beginning of the Maimar complete and total despair, which of course is impossible. A tzaddik is never messiahish. None of us, Chas v'Shalom, should ever be messiahish. Description of the generation, the mashbir, the crisis, the terrible abyss that seemed to separate between the old generation of Shomer Mitzvahs and the young generation so rebellious. And now on page 12, Rav Kook begins to describe what's unique. What's unique about the time that he was living in, the time that we're living in. B'chol hazmanim, b'chol hadayrus, page 12 of the third line. B'chol hazmanim, b'chol hadayrus, anach neroim, nedoshu mole pratzais. If we look back, in all times, in all generations, we see that that when there was a generation that was filled with gaps. Process doesn't only mean gaps, it means was filled with pirtzes in Yiddishkeit, terrible problems in Yiddishkeit, process, a rejection of tiramisus. That whenever there was a generation, whenever there was a time where Jews were wildly throwing themselves into the world and running away from Torah mitzvahs, ki haprotzos ovros al pnei kol chugay hamusari shel hador lechol tzadav. Then the religious abandonment came together throughout history. It came together with an overall abandonment of morals, of ethics. With the Ben Adam Lamokim, where one side of the Luchas was broken, the other side of the Luchas was broken. That's how things went throughout time, all of the years. The process, the gaps, the holes, the brokenness was something that spread over the entire generation, not only Ben Adam Lamakam and their relationship with God, Shabbos and Tillin and Davening and learning and so on, but the Chlal. When we look at the Chet HaEgel, so the Chet HaEgel began in what appeared to be a religious crisis. There was a religious crisis. There was a terrible question of what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu, what happened to God. We haven't heard from anybody. And as a result of that, they returned to what they were familiar with. They returned to Avodah Zarah, and they made an Egel Azav. But at the very same time that they slipped back into idolatry, they automatically shifted back to adultery. And we see that in Chumash. The Chazal describe in greater detail the moral failure of the Chet HaEgel. It began as a collapse in religious faith, in Emunah, but it very, very quickly deteriorated into an overall collapse on all levels of any decency, of any sense of morality. And a crack that divided that divided the Jewish people in half completely. L'chol stadav. And we've seen this generally through history, Rav Kook says, that where it's a door that's mole process, that where there's a loss of faith, where there's an abandonment of Teremesis, where Jews leave the Bar Olam, the Creator, they leave entirely. And they give themselves over completely to the other side. Dor Shochech Eloka, a generation that forgets God, who gam Dor Saramar, Zoyl Vasoyve. It's also a generation that's Saramar, that rebels against everything. Whatever the old generation of that represented faith and shmiras and mitzvahs, all boundaries, the young generation, the new generation, does everything that it's able to do to break down any semblance of what was in the past, to destroy. Therefore, the loss of faith, there's bechlal, a loss of all Jewish behavior, of all morals, of all the Jewish dignity. Gamdor Sarah Moira, Zoyl Vesoyve. Zoyl Vesoyve indulging in all kinds of disgusting things. Not just that there are philosophical, theological, religious issues, but those religious issues would lead ultimately to a complete recklessness, a complete loss of any kind of Jewish behavior. Zoyl Vesoyve, to indulge in this world, to fress and to food and in things that are forbidden and so on, and other things, the Lairayas, as we see by the Chet Egel. And Rav Kook talks a little bit about the past. He says, Mirosh Mikedem. If we go back to the earlier years, to the beginning. Now he seems to be speaking here about the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, of the destruction of First Beis HaMikdash. Mirosh Mikedem, Eis Zonach Yisrael as Tzur Mo'uzai. At the time when the Jewish people abandoned the rock of strength, meaning they left HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they ran away from Hashem. They became immersed in Avodah Zarah in the worst way. Every single archaeological dig around the Beis HaMikdash, the further back it goes, closer to the Bayis Rishon, the more they come up with Avodah Zarah. And it wasn't Avodah Zarah from Avodah Zarah, it was from Jews. All around Yerushalayim, all around the Beis HaMikdash, Jewish Avodah Zarah. So then what would happen? From that time we see. On the one hand, means the pasuk from Navi Yeshaya. The people, the men who were sacrificing of a desire, or those, the Mephashim would say, Zayv Chayodim, people who were sacrificing human beings. They were sacrificing children. Moilach, and human sacrifice. They left God, and they were making human sacrifices. Agolim Yishakun, and they were kissing Agolim. Kissing cows of a desire, is meaning. Agolim Yishakun. The Yishkahu Kel Meshion. They forgot. I'm sorry. Yitzom Dule Lilam. They attached themselves to idols. The Yitzom Dule Lilam. The Yishkahu Kel Meshion. And they forgot the God who had saved them, who had redeemed them. In other words, there was a total loss of religion, of belief in God. that when that would happen, when that happened in the past, then u'me'eiver mizeh, then we move over to the second side of the luchos, and it was when the first side of the luchos were broken. When Adrech Hashem Lekech is not there, and Lo'ilach is not there, and Shabbos is not there, and so on. So then what would happen in the past is Me'eva Mizeh, Znus, adultery, and so on. Znus, Yayin Vesirash, Yikach Lev, says in the Pasuk, Znus, Yayin Vesirash, Yikach Lev. Znus, immorality, sexual morality, yain v'sirish, wine and new wine and old wine, yikach leiv, would take away the heart. So when Jews in the past would leave Hashem, they would head straight for the club, and there would be partying and complete loss of any sense of moral balance and dignity, znus and priestess and so on. Complete hashchosa, like by the Dor HaMabul. I mean, he's quoting Pesukim, paraphrasing Pesukim. The Ganav Yovai Uparsha Gidud Bachutz. The Ganav Yovai, the Ganav comes into the house. Uparsha Gidud Bachutz, and the bandits are raiding outside the house. Complete breakdown of any moral structure to society. Ganavim come into the house. And they're not even ashamed. Ganavim come into the house, Uparsha Gedud Bachutz, and the Ganavim, the Gedud, like the bandits, they're raiding outside. Not to be embarrassed at all. There's no embarrassment. Complete immorality. Znus and preaches and stealing Genevis Menach. Without any embarrassment, chlal. And again, the contrast. Po noshim evakas es atamus. In the past, when women were mevakas es atamus, it means that they were crying. That was the way that there was a whole way of the Avodah Zarah that's called Tamuz. Tamuz, the month, our month of Tamuz, is named after Avodah Zarah. Which is by other months we have that as well. It's not why that is that we're not going to talk about now. The names of the months that came with us from Bavel. But one of the most common types of Avodah Zarah that was in ancient Bavel that the Jews were involved in was that they would have this kind of an Avodah Zarah, and they would heat it, make it wax, and it would look like it's crying. This was a specialty of the women. They particularly were connected to this Avodah Zarah, Mavakas and Satamas. So, again, it's a symbol of a complete loss of religious faith, idol worship. Tonosim Mavakas and Satamas. The women, when in the past, when there was such a matzav where the Avodah Zarah was so rampant, where even women who normally are more mekusha to emuna, that even the women of Mavakas and Satamas, not only have the men stopped going to shul, but the women are also Mavakas and Satamas. And during those times when there was such a loss of Yiddishkeit, then v'sham kol ach akoyv yaakoyv v'chol reya rochel yahaloich. Then during those periods of time when there was a breakdown of emuna, so then we would see also that there was no cheshem mishpat. When there was no erechai, when there's no yeredeya, when Jews left Yiddishkeit, Archaim and Yerday, religious observance, then Kol Ach Akiv Yaakov, and it was Chayshim Mishpat fell apart too. Kol Ach Akiv Yaakov means you couldn't trust your brother, because every brother acts deceitfully. V'charei Rochiel, and every neighbor goes about V'chilas, slandering the other one. complete breakdown. Then of Mamokim, then Machavero. Oh, you see Yiddishkeit, no Yiddishkeit finish. Whatever Yiddishkeit called for, the same Yiddishkeit that said you're supposed to have a little bit of a kugel and so on. The same Yiddishkeit says how you're supposed to act. Then of Machavero, Cheshemishpat, and so on. How to respect a husband, to respect a wife, how children treat their parents. I mean, a complete and total breakdown. And this is described, Rav Kook just brings some psukim a little bit here, a little bit there from Navi. And from Tillim, but this was rampant by our ancestors. And it always went together. That when there was a Shvius Halukas, it meant the whole thing. Finished. Gemeindu. No Yiddishkeit. All four sections of Shulchan Aruch. We're not interested. We don't have any shaykhus to anything. It's a pacha, but that's what happened in the past. Page 13. Mizehakav Oivrahu Gam Alpnei Hatalod Shalanu Gambagolus. Not only was this in ancient times in Eretz Yisrael, but that's how it was. But Oivrahu Gam Alpnei Hatalod Shalanu. This is in our past. This is how we lived. Gambagolus. Even the years in Golus, not just in Eretz Yisrael. At the time of Beis Hamikdash, Chum Beis Hamikdash, Beis Hamikdash, Chum Beis Hamikdash. So see, from the Navi, if you look a little bit in Amos, and look at Treyasa. I mean, don't do it on Shabbos; it'll spoil your appetite. What was going on? I guess what we were Isaac in. I mean, nowadays, if a bacha looked at something, he saw the wrong thing on there, he looked at something, had a type, looked at something on his iPhone, so he's ready to kill himself. But was Leibedik was going on in the times of the in ancient times by Am Yisrael? Jewish history didn't begin in Munkach and Radin, you understand? Jewish history didn't begin in Munkach. The impression we get that all of our ancestors were walking around with white socks and long black coats and a serious look on their face, oiling their payas, saying tikkun klali. It's not the way it was. There were some very, very fine Jews, and the Jews who were fine were Nevi'im. But the Hamoinam, there were all kinds of crazy things going on. Ida Gross says that by this Hamikdash, even a Pashat Yid, we can't be mastering the greatness of a Pashat Yid. It's not a contradiction. There was a greatness that was together with such craziness. That's how it always was. A complete Shiras Aluchas. Muzaru Hador Hazeh. Therefore, Cook says, our generation, which continues to now, as we learned at the beginning, is strange. It's an anomaly. It's strange. Something's weird about this generation. Muzaru Hador Hazeh. It's modern. Strange. It's a modern generation. Muzaru Hador Hazeh. Shoivavhu. Very rebellious. Very rebellious. Shoivavu. In other words, they don't want the Messiah. The young generation, they don't want it. They don't want to be bothered. They're not interested in not in Bavakam and not in Bav Mitzvah. And they don't want the Tillin is sitting from the Bar Mitzvah is sitting in the drawer. My father told me he had a cousin. It was before the war. My father had a cousin in Europe. That was already, my father said, at that time, he was already not particularly from. Of course, when he was there in town, so he conducted himself as a from person. My father said he was always talking about things that shouldn't be spoken about, and he was looking to get out. And he went, which in those days it was considered to be a very, very big thing. He left town, and he went to university in Vienna. And everybody's crying, and it's a whole big thing. My father remembers when he went, it was considered to be a terrible tragedy. He left, and my father said he remembers that this cousin, when he was in Vienna, but before he left, so he promised his father that he would put on tefillin every day. He would put on tefillin every day. In other words, if you were going to Vienna, it meant most likely you were not going to be from anymore. He promised that he was going to put on tefillin every day. And my father said that while he was there, so he ran out of money, and he sent back home that he needed more money, and that my father sent back to him that you're a liar and you're not putting on tefillin, because he said, I put extra cash into your tefillin bottle, into your tefillin bag. You didn't even put on one day tefillin. If you'd have opened up your tefillin, you would have found that there's money inside. You didn't put on tefillin. That's it. It's finished. This same relative, I once spoke about him, he survived, he's not alive now, he survived the war, and he ended up marrying a not-Jewish Hashiksa, and he moved to Australia. You know, his parents were tzaddikim and kedoshim. Tzaddikim and kedoshim. And he had many, 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 many thousands and thousands of homes that were like this. Thousands and thousands of homes. In the Altaheim. And as I said many times in the past, just look at some of these old pictures. Some of the old pictures where you see the grandparents sitting there, all wrapped up in the long beard and the whole thing. And you see that the children, the grandchildren, it's not just that they weren't dressed properly. See that the chlal, to tell even from the pictures. Muzahu ad darazeh. Shoivavu, Rav Kook says the generation is very strange. Shoivavu, rebellious. Not interested in Yiddishkeit. Not interested in the Masorah. Shoivavu. Proihu, wild. Wild. Avogam nalevinis. At the same time that the generation, in terms of Yiddishkeit and the Masorah, is rebellious, has broken that side of the luchas. Avogam nalevinisa. At the same time, Rav Kook says the generation is. The generation is Nala, is an elevated generation. Nisa is even higher, an exalted generation. Nala than Nisa. Now, he says, Noitzim and Acheshman is Echidim Agasim. Let's take out of this Cheshman, of course there are exceptions, of course, says, well, Stam. He says, Agasim. Agasim means oppressed. Well, Stam, he says, Yechidim, there are always individuals who will take advantage of a religious, of some sort of a religious crisis to just have fun, to live it up. There are always going to have people like that. But he says, Naitzim and Acheshman is Yechidim Agasim Shalokulam as Ruach HaPratzim Lamasva, who they hide themselves behind the disguise, the mask, of some sort of a religious crisis. In order to do whatever their heart desires and to just go nuts with everything and to like return to those idolatrous, adulterous days of the first base of Mikdash. They're always yechidim. They're always people like that. But Rav Kook says, we're not going to measure the generation by the yechidim. Those are the chutz. Those are the yotzim and haklal, who are taking advantage of the state that we're in right now, where there's this religious crisis, and they see this as an opportunity to have a good time. To have a good time, to leave everything. The stealing and the sexual morality, all the things that we just described from first base of Mikdash. There are always individuals who will take advantage. You'll even have that nowadays. You'll see that there's a certain family, though, Elaine, a lot of times we'll have an older kid that's going off the derech, right? God forbid. You have an older kid that's off the derech, so then the younger kid says, this looks like I could have an opening here. There's an opening, there's a pizza. My parents are having a hard time with Maishi. Maishi's in Shkan Shabbos, Shkan Til, nothing. He's leaving yeshiva. He's already, you know, he's gone. No, this is I could like sneak out together with him. I can get out together. This is my chance. This is my big chance to get out. So all of a sudden he comes home, and he was doing fine. The second kid was doing okay. Comes home, he says, you know, I'm not so happy in this yeshiva. I want to go to the other yeshiva. The other yeshiva where you have not only bachurim, but also bachurot, right? Bachurim and gambesulais, zekanim and norim. You know, I want to go. Now, if the older brother would have been solid, would be strong, then the second brother wouldn't see like this. Wouldn't see any opening. But since the older brother is already, so then the second brother says, "This is my opportunity." And why is it that so many of the second brothers are looking for the opportunity? That's not, we've discussed that millions of times. That's not for now. But they're looking for that opportunity. So the first brother already is, you know, he's already all fedek with nose rings and earrings, and he's already, you know, he's driving around drinking beer on Friday night, the whole business. You know, he's doing the whole thing, whatever he can, you know, the weirdest things he can come up with that no non-religious person even thought of. You know, that's akideka. So the second kid thinks, and I'm sitting like this, like a good boy in yeshiva. I'm learning, I'm studying here today. Am I crazy? I gotta get something out of this, out of my older brother. He was never good to me. He's always making fun of me. He's always beating me up. Something I have to have for my older brother. I'm not happy in yeshiva. I don't like my rabbi. And the parents say, like, what does he have to do with you? Like, what's going on with you? You were fine until now. I haven't been fine. I've been very unhappy all of these years. You don't know. I've been very, very unhappy all of these years. No, you're unhappy. You look like you're totally happy. What's the problem? I didn't tell you how unhappy I was. I was very unhappy. I can't stand to be in this place. I'm not going to stay another day. And the parents say, he's got the parents now, just like this. Because the parents they see what happened to the older brother, and the second one starts to give him like a little material here like this, and the parents think that if we don't give in to the second kid, that he's going to become like the first kid, and then we got another three or four after that. It's going to be like the whole jail's going to open up. They're all going to run. That's it. The inmates are going to take over. So they say, okay. You know, but you can't go to the co-ed camp. No co-ed camp. That's, you heard Vayada. And you're going to sign a paper, you're not going to co-ed camp, you're going to go to whatever, to Dora Golding or some other, where there's still, you know, it's only boys, not going to go to a co-ed camp, and you have to sign here, no co-ed camp. And he says, oh, co-ed camp, you think I'm like my older brother? No. And he signs the paper, and he stands, and they get two Aiden, and everything. I'm never going to go in my life to co-ed camp. The year goes by, he's already in the co-ed school during the year, you understand. So his girlfriend's going to the camp. So he says, I'm the only one in my class that's still good, that has to go to Dora Golden. The only one in the whole school that goes to a boys' camp. Everybody thinks I'm a nerd, everybody thinks I'm weird. I can't go, but you signed, and the parents said, Baruch Zahman, you never see this thing? And the parents said, and they hold up the shtar. They hold up the shtar to some dopey 16-year-old. You signed the shtar, and the kid goes like, no, so what? I signed. What's not given? I signed. I didn't sign. So what are you going to do? You take the dice, and what are you going to do? I have these conversations all the time with his parents. I have a star. He takes the parents to get a star. You show a kid a star. No. Sue me. The parents are going to have to pay anyway. It's gone. I'll get me out of here. And it all began from the tears of the first kid. First kid opened up a place. It's like in the football game, you know. You got the guy, he runs and he makes that space, and then I don't remember the names of all the positions anymore. But then the fullback, right? The fullback, the guys run the event. Those guys make an opening, and he, okay. Now the second one says, "Oh, this is I can get out of here," and he goes. So they're always yechidim like that. But that's not a way to, you can't understand the generation by the yechidim who are taking advantage of a weakness in the family, a weakness appears in a particular situation. No, is yechidim, I've cooked this guy, is yechidim agasim. Agasim is an unrefined prust person. There is yechidim gasim that they'll go for it. They'll take advantage. But they really are, these are people who are really, to begin with, weak, and they have strong immoral tendencies already cooking inside. And then when there's a religious breakdown, so then they'll say, this is my chance. This is my chance, 30, to have a good time, to have a party. But that's not the generation. There's a yechidim like that. He says, let's just not talk about those individuals who are using this ruach of religious crisis to do what lamasva is a mask. That they're taking advantage of now, that they're going to steal and violence and all disgusting things. Which you have that. Like in a time of war. It's one of the scariest things that you have people that they look like they were nice, regular people, but in a time of war, when there's a breakdown of the seder of life at a time of war. I can remember when we were in school, the book that we read, All Quiet on the Western Front. It's a pachad that when there's a breakdown at time of war, everything falls apart, and then you have people that normally during the regular time they would never steal lemaisa, they would never hurt an innocent person. You know, lemaisa though, that during the war people go around and they'll go to women and children and slit throats and kill and all kinds of gnevis and gazelas that people at a time of war. I bet Jews it's not a chlila, such a thing like to such an extreme, but we see this. That when something goes wrong, there are individuals who will take advantage to steal and to do all kinds of terrible things. But Rav Kook says, let's not try to understand the generation because of the Yoytzim and HaKlal. Those are individuals. But the generation itself, he says, on the whole, he says, "V'nimtza ki me'eiver mizeh chutzpah yiska." On the one hand, in our generation, he says, chutzpah, like Chazal say at the end of time, chutzpah will increase, tremendous, tremendous chutzpah. Ein haben mizbayish me'aviv. The son's not embarrassed in front of his father. Talks back to his father. Na'aron pnei zekeinim yalbinu. The Gemara says all these things. Na'aron pnei zekeinim yalbinu. Young people are embarrassing and humiliating, talking back to old people. On the one hand, lu'umazeh, and on the other hand, rigshei hachesed. Feelings, powerful, powerful feelings of chesed, kindness, yosher, not an abandonment of morals, not going away from chesed, but just the opposite. A tremendous sense of chesed, a tremendous sense of yashrus, but to be more moral, to be more honest. Rikshe Chesed, Hayoish, HaMishpat, Mishpat, justice. You can't have demand for equal rights. This is where Rav Kook was living in those times. Equality for minorities, equality for women, v'chulu v'chulu. All of these social movements that were so powerful in those days, and over the years even more so. And it's so different, of course, says in the past, as we spoke about in the Hakdama, in the past, during the years of Golas, we didn't have, like, institutions of chesed. What we have nowadays, Nezer's Torah, Yad Eliezer, and so on, of course you had in every town, there were yechidim that were very, very busy collecting and helping, but institutions of chesed. For the most part, individuals were trying to just survive. We spoke about that way back by the Hakdama. They were just trying to survive. And that itself is so hard just to try to make it. But to become busy with taking care of other people and building up organizations of chesed and so on. You had a chevra kedisha. And certainly there was a gemilas chesed and there were Jews that were icing in it. But to have wide scale social welfare, not only by Jews, but the whole musig in the world of social welfare. Of social welfare. Unions, unemployment, to be able to be compensated. All of these musagim are very, very modern. Very modern. That society has a responsibility to take care of people who are down and out. Society has an achrayus for people who are mentally handicapped, who are poor. Society has such a society has an achrayus. There was no musig like that. Society has no friends. The kahila would do its best to, as we know, the kahila would raise taxes, and they tried to put food, and there were other things. The kahila tried, but that the whole world was taken up with causes. At that time, the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, socialism and communism, the whole musig of an achrayus for improving the welfare, the overall well-being of the world, of mankind. It's a chiddush, tremendous chiddush. That workers should be protected, the whole union of unions, that a worker should be protected, that what the conditions are in the factory, there shouldn't be long, the hours shouldn't be too long, that somebody should put a window in the place. All of these things that we take for granted, they're so poshut that how could any civilized person live without these things? There was no one to protect workers. Children? The children were working, they were 8, 9, 10 years old. And the bosses did whatever they wanted with them, both in terms of taking advantage of them financially, taking advantage of them in many other ways. Hashem, this was the way people lived. Children, women. If you want to get a taste of how miserable things used to be, just look at any Muslim country now. They're very old-fashioned. They tried to stick to the Messiah that they had of the old days. And that's how the world lives. That's how the world existed. And then at that time, people came. Of course, there's now a generation. And of course, that was rising up within Klal Yisrael, and from there it spilled over to the world. And the Jews were at the forefront of all these movements. The Jews were at the forefront of all of these movements. Leah, yes.
You know which country was the first one to implement successfully social security? It was not England. It was Germany's Bismarck.
Yeah?
Yeah. They were very, very successful.
But how the Germans...
The population followed them blindly. Whatever they said. That was the root, the beginning of, you know, when he unified Germany.
So all of the masses were rallying behind the leaders. It was at the same time extreme nationalism, fascism, and Nazism, and so all of this, the whole stauschless advarm, where society changed from the miserable, lonely individual trying to get a couple of pennies with getting some milk from his cow, to there being large scale institutions, social movements that would lead to nationalism, people once movements are established for social welfare, so then it was only a skip and a jump. When you're talking about people like the Germans, then it's only when we're talking about Amalek, and from that it crosses over to national socialism, to Nazis, where the individual is lost, and all we have is what? All we have is just the Am, the nation. There's no longer an individual. So in the old days it was all about just the individual. Then things shifted. It's all about the nation. So whereas in the past there was no interest in the other and taking care of the nation, and it was all about the individual and his own personal struggles, then things shifted. Everything became about the people, the nation, the folk. And then from there it's just by Amalek, it's just straight into Nazism, where the individual's bechlava doesn't mean anything. To take a life means nothing. To kill people. Communism, Nazism, a human life, it's nothing, but it's a life. The individual became lost. This was all happening in Rav Kook's time. This unbelievable shift from the individual to the Am, from the individual to the institution. Bichsei ha-chesed, ha-yosha, ha-mishpat, ha-chemlet, compassion. Compassion. So the yisod of these movements of social welfare is compassion. Rachmanis. Rachmanis on the workers, Rachmanis on children, Rachmanis on the women, Rachmanis. Rachmanis. And a feeling of yashvus. Arising and becoming stronger and stronger. Now, again, this is very different from the past. In the past, there was a breakdown, again, of Arichayim, of Yerdeya. Then it was finished. There was no Ebenezer, there was no Chesh Mishpat. Everything was finished. Rav Kook says it's so strange now. It's strange. Where Arichayim and Yerdeya are being thrown away. Torah mitzvahs, Shabbos and Kashrus and so on, Torah Tefillah are being thrown away. But then Chesh Mishpat, Chesed Yosha Mishpat Chemla morality. And not only that, the young generation looked at the old generation and had a taina that you might be very religious. You might be very religious when it comes to Tarachim, Yerdei, and Ebenezer. Very, very religious. When it comes to Shabbos and Yontif, and when it comes to having a kosher mezuzah, and everything like that, and to making your wedding, that everything should be kadash or kedin. But what about kosher mishpat? What about honesty? What about honesty? What about paying your taxes? What about honesty? What about elokai? So the young generation turned things around and accused the older generation of being immoral. You might be very good in the first three sessions of Shulchan Aruch. You're very careful with all that stuff, with the traditions, and you keep all the traditions. But what about the second side of the luchos? What about the second side of Luchas? It's still a taina. Was it taina then? Is it taina now? What about the second side of Luchas? Somebody read to me that there was some kind of a celebrity that was in Eretz Yisrael last week. I don't know who it was. There was some, I don't know, a movie star or somebody who was in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean that. I don't need to know that. But it was some kind of a stunt. That was nice to tell last week. And how do you know what I'm going to say already? What? Oh. See. I'm not talking about the Galuch. You're talking about the Galuch?
No.
Oh, so he was saying, this comedian, I guess he's a comedian, was saying that, wow, he says, here in Israel, it's unbelievable. You're putting Prime Minister Olmert, the former Prime Minister, is going to jail. He says, and all these politicians are going to jail. It has here in Israel, it's a busha. Here in Israel, if you ask a politician what's your cell number, it has a different meaning altogether. Doesn't mean your phone number means what's cell in jail. What's your cell number in jail? It's a busha nacherpa. We can make jokes about it. Not a busha nacherpa. Not a busha nacherpa that a guy that was a prime minister, he's going to jail. The whole world is—it's not a chil Hashem. It goes on. It's not a chil Hashem b'chalal. It goes on because Amud Asu Chesh Mishpat. Not only in Eretz Yisrael, but here. That I mentioned many times. They had one of the fellows from the shul years ago. He was doing business in Borough Park, and none of the distributors would give him any account. They wouldn't let him have any credit. He said, "There's no way." He came in. He was new. Like he was naive. He's not from the neighborhood, and he came in. He was doing business, and Coca-Cola, all these big distributors say, we bring the schayrim. They didn't say that. We bring the merchandise. You pay when we bring the merchandise. No credit. And he said, I'm in business for many years. Well, why can't I have credit? He said, we give credit to everybody else, but not give credit in Borough Park, because here we don't get paid if we give credit. That's what he told them. So then you could just say, ah, the guy's an anti-Semite. The fellow told me, this strike me as anti-Semitic. He said, this is how things work over here. Jews don't pay. Therefore, you want Coca-Cola? Pay when we bring it. You don't have the money? And you have the money. Tell us, we'll come. That's what he told me that happened. With all the distributors. They don't want to, they're not giving any credit. A bush and a cherpa, that the government are afraid to give Jews credit. A bush and a cherpa. So it's a tiny. It wasn't just a tiny back then. That the young generation looks at the religious generation, at the old religious ones, and says, all right, you're very, very religious, but what happened to the second side of Luchas? What happened over there to the second part of Luchas? So Cook says, it's a strange time. Very strange time. On the one hand, a complete breakdown. On the other hand, Rikshe Chesed, Yoshe, Mishpat, Chemla, Oilun and Mizgabrim. So that's the one paradox. That's Aleph. That's number one. Then he says, number two, V'akoach ha-madoi. What's mado? Science. Technology. So everything he's saying is mamish ruach hakodesh. V'akoach ha-madoi. We see that the koach of science, of technology, HaKoach HaMadoi VaHa'Ideali, Ideali, which means idealism, the kibbutzim and so on, technology, science, together with, again, social idealism, Pirate Soila is bursting out and rising. Explosion of technology, of scientific discoveries, progress, guys. Purvisvayla. Now, Rav Kook is touching upon something he discusses in a number of places. There's a page that I gave you last week. I don't know if you still have it. from the Shmoneh Kavotsim. In the first Kovitz, Tov Ayin Tess, Rav Kook spoke about this, and again, he saw so much in the future, it's a pachad. Rav Kook saw a very deep connection between scientific progress, modernization that was taking place, Pituach Hamada, the development of science and technology. He saw a connection between that and Pituach Hamusari, and moral development. He writes about this in a number of places, that there's a connection between the two. There's a connection between the two. In general, Rav Kook's mahalach in this is fascinating. We'll see a little bit inside that. We'll get to it today. But Rav Kook says in a number of places that it's a hashgacha from Hashem. The way that hashgacha runs the world, that when the world is not developed morally, when the world, let's say, has not come to a place of social welfare, benefits, equality, when the world is not there, when the world in Musar is not developed, then the world, then Rav Kook explains in many places, then the world was also not ready for technological scientific developments to take place. Let's give an example, which of course Rav Kook couldn't have spoken about. But we'll see the examples that he gives, but we'll use an example that we're more familiar with. That's more from recent times. Nuclear energy that's placed into the hands of people who are not, who are immoral people. Technology, scientific progress is a tremendous advantage and has unbelievable light or that it adds to society. Tremendous. But at the same time, it creates certain challenges. Everybody knows this. You have an iPhone or an iPad, the latest, the newest. On the one hand, it's gewaldige thing. It's so helpful in so many ways. With work and with school, it's very, very helpful. It's unbelievable how helpful it is. But if you're a person who is not morally developed, then the same thing that you're holding is a hashchasa, is so dangerous, it's so destructive. Nuclear energy in the wrong hands. What's going on? While we're speaking, they're sitting there in Iran, and they're tweaking the last little pieces, you know, they're putting things together, just getting ready to plug everything in. So nuclear energy is in the hands of such people, in the hands of these chayes. So Rav Kook says there's a hashgacha that when the world at large is morally underdeveloped, that technology remains underdeveloped. So it's a fascinating insight. We'll see more insight, Mr. Shah. He says this hashgacha like that. When the world is not morally prepared, is not a kli for the R of science and technology, is not a strong enough kli to use science and technology in the proper way, in the right way, so then the hashgacha has been that mankind for thousands of years was to a large extent making very, very little progress. Very little progress. Every little thing, that every tiny little bit of modernization was come, it's geschlept out until there was some Indian, until Benjamin Franklin went dragging around with a kite. And that's where we went when we were kids. Electricity. It took such a long time for somebody to figure out how to make a transistor radio. I mean, thousands of years to somebody put this thing in together. And if we see how things are moving now, from one thing to the next, just in the last 20, 30, 40 years, it's going to be things that when we were growing up was science fiction, was crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. It's already outdated. Nobody even would bother. It's so silly. So Rav Kook says the Hashgacha Pratis controls these two systems that are connected one to the other, which we'll see more about in Mitzvah next week. Hashem Yisroel controls underdeveloped morality cannot be hit with accelerated technological scientific development. Doesn't have the cable. It's going to cause a shiris akeinu, a complete and total breakdown and a misuse of all the gifts that the world, that the Hashgach is offering through what's hidden, all the karchas that are hidden in the world. Therefore, we'll learn more about this next week. Therefore, puts them together. The koach of science and idealism, again, moral idealism, is bursting, exploding in the world. New discoveries, science, at the same time, where there's this sudden, unbelievable excitement over equality and Chesed and Chemla and compassion and social welfare and so on. It all comes together. Can't be one without the other. Can't be one without the other. They always go together. Mitzvah, we'll talk more about that next week after Yom Kippur.